further ado, let us receive Elder William Liverman and the gospel of the grace of God with a very hearty amen. Praise God.
Grace and peace to the household of faith. I'm looking for my handkerchief. I'm trying not to sweat. Amen. So grace and peace, everyone. Thank God for another day. Thank God for His kindness, His goodness, and His mercy that He has caused us to be here. Notice, God calls us to be here. We didn't come on our own. We all came by the mercy and the grace and the love that God has bestowed upon us as members in His glorious body, the body of Christ. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord, for this, your love and kindness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for another day. We thank you, Father, for being so good. Oh God, bless your people today. Oh God, bless even those that are not here. Father, we ask that you continue to just breathe upon us according to your will, plan, and purpose. Bless our pastors and cut in their absence, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask, say a special prayer to Sister Ken or her family. Oh God, we just thank you, Lord, that you know all things and you're the author of all things. And you love us. We ask that you continue to just edify us according to your will, plan, and purpose. And we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory that all the people God say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. We're going to get right into the Word of God today. Amen. Have you ever thought where you would be, where any of us would be without the Word of God? I would hate to think that. The Word of God is our life. The Word of God is everything. Because it's liberating truth, in essence, that God has for us today. Amen. At this time, let's go right to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be reading right from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. That's good. Thank you. Again, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. Amen. This is, as you know, in every Sunday, every time someone's up here preach, what's our topic? You know, it's Jesus. Amen. Jesus, in essence, that's our topic. Because that's our source. He is our source. He's everything to us. But because the topic is Jesus, if I were to give a, I guess you can call it a subtopic today's, in the today's message. Topic Jesus, if I were to give this a subtopic, in essence, that subtopic would be, it's time to get back to the basics. It's time to get back to the basics. So let's read, let's go right into Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. A deep, let's we'll go ahead and read this, let's read the King James first, and then we're going to go right back and read this entire verse 1 through 9 in the interlinear Greek. Amen? May Deacon Gavin is our reader as we move on, as we begin. Again, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9.
We're reading from the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, beginning verse 1, King James Version. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, Lord, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery.
Notice, by revelation, God gave the message of the gospel, the revelation, to one man, the Apostle Paul. And he gave it to him by revelation. God did not, Paul did not get this message by being taught by Jesus through the flesh.
Peter, James, John, the 12, the other 7, they talked to Jesus. They talked. He gave them this message, the gospel, the kingdom gospel, what? In the flesh. But in the essence of eternality, the Apostle Paul got this message from heaven himself. Let's move on.
As I wrote afore in few words, verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
It's not made known. Amen. Keep going.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Mm-hmm. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, mm-hmm. and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Amen. Now, for time's sake, let's go right to verse 5, and let's read this in the interlinear Greek. Amen? We're going to read verse 5 in the interlinear Greek.
Again, from the book of Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verse 5, from the interlinear Greek text, which in other generations not was made known to the sons of men.
Now we need, what is which? Which is what? The revelation of the mystery. That volume of truth, which in other generations, the time past, was not made known. Okay, D.
Was not made known to the sons of men, as now it was revealed to the holy apostles of him and prophets in spirit.
Notice, church, Grace Gospel, and I know, you know, our church goes, what, worldwide? My wife made a statement a few years ago that, and it was so true, this is a worldwide ministry. And see, because most of God's people walk by what? Sight. There's a worldwide, yes, this ministry goes worldwide. Right now, as anyone is up here in Sunday, whether it's Pastor Gavin, my wife, Ella Liverman, myself, whoever up here, this message goes to Africa, the Philippines, Pakistan, of course, the United States, all over. But in the essence of what we need to understand is that what Dee just read is that this information, the volume of truth, the revelation of the mystery, church, is information that was not known in prior generations. In other words, during the time that God revealed this wonderful body of knowledge, this volume of truth, it was not known in prophets of old. What we need to understand, somebody said, what do you mean prophets of old? You know, the mighty David who killed the Goliath. He didn't know it. The eagle-eyed prophet Isaiah, who God showed him all the end-time events, as well as Daniel, they didn't know it. Jeremiah didn't know it. Moses didn't know it. God gave some, had this truth reserved for us today. And what is this truth? It's a body of knowledge that gives more information. We can cover that later. It has a higher value rating than other parts of the Bible. The entire Bible is true. And we need to emphasize this. Because, see, people, you know, sometimes people hear what they want to hear. You know, they'll say, oh, well, you know, Ellis mentioned that only those 14 epistles is the essence. No, the whole Bible is true. But the whole Bible is just not written what? To you.
Right.
Stop reading other people's mail. The volume of truth, those 14 epistles, that is our mail.
Yeah.
Those are our directives. Those are our instructions. And that's where we should focus. I remember a few years ago, I had gotten some mail. You know, sometimes nobody's perfect, right? The postal worker had given mail. In other words, she had delivered mail. She gave me the mail, but it was my next door neighbor's, the Gordons. So, in essence, when I saw this, this mail was not for me. So when Pat came home, I said, Pat, you know, they made a mistake. Here's your mail. So he looked at it and he said, Bill, no, that's a bill. You can have it. I said, no, I can't. That's not my mail. All right, that was his mail. Those were his instructions. So in essence, we need to read what? Our mail. And you can go to over there in Deuteronomy and what? Leviticus and amen. Wonderful knowledge. It's the word of God. But when you try to follow those instructions for direction, you end up doing some crazy stuff. You end up throwing food away. You end up thinking that the Holy Spirit left and you have a bad day. So, uh-oh, I'm going to hell. Well, the Bible told David, David prayed, Lord, take not the Spirit from me. David was working on limited information. Because the information we have today is what? You are sealed. We are sealed, what? To the day of redemption. So we need to prioritize what? Our mail. Amen? So in essence, what the church needs to do is we need to get back to the basics of the gospel of the grace of God. Our gospel. The only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation of God's sovereign grace. Now, I'm going to say some things today. It may be a little controversial, but it's the truth. Keep this in mind. Everything that's popular is not always true. Right. And everything that's true is not always popular.
Right.
Amen. I hear a lot of things on TV, read a lot of books and stuff, that, wait a minute, this is popular, but is it true?
Right.
See, thank God for singing songs in the church. Amen. Thank God. That's a part of the ministry. But that is not what? The basis of the gospel. Thank God for a successful youth ministry. That's wonderful. That's part of the, what, framework and what God has given us. But that's not the basis of the gospel. Thank God for different programs such as, what, JR Ministry. Minister to, what, the blind. Minister to the poor. You know, these different programs in, what, churches. Wonderful. We're not minimizing these. But these should not be, what, the foundation where a church is built. The foundation of the body of Christ today, the foundation is to prioritize those 14 epistles that God gave to the Apostle Paul. Now, God revealed this wonderful information to Paul. And in essence, you need to understand that what God revealed to Paul was not unheard of in prior generations. So, in essence, up to that time, the Apostle Paul knew more than Isaiah. He knew more than Daniel. He knew more than all the Old Testament prophets. Why? Because God revealed more to him. And let's take it further. The Apostle Paul, God revealed more to him than Peter, James, and John, the 12 disciples. Now, somebody said, you off your rocket. These are the disciples that walked with Jesus. If you look at the workings of God, God revealed more. Why? Because in Peter, James, and John, the kingdom apostles, their focus was what? To preach, teach the gospel of the kingdom. How many times do you read, and if you go there, read Peter, James, what? Matthew, Mark, Luke. Jesus told them, his instructions, go and do what? Preach the gospel of the kingdom. Later on, God told what? His instructions to what? The Apostle Paul and others, go and preach the gospel of the grace of God. And if you do not draw a line of demarcation between these messages, you'll be confused. So, we need to see the problem with God's people. They look at the Bible here and they say, well, it's the whole Bible is true. Absolutely, it's true. But what, in essence, in the Bible is what? Directed to you. See, and I'm living proof that if you follow this Bible, you try to what? Obey this whole Bible in the light of what's written? You'll be confused. Because, you know, right now we're approaching the new year. And a lot of organizations coming out with read the Bible through. You know, it's okay. As long as you know what you're doing. So what I would do, they would have January. You know, you start in Genesis, right? And I said, man, I got excited, right? You know, Moses and you go to Exodus and how the children, Moses took that rod and what? God opened up the rivers. Man, that's exciting stuff. And I said, man, I felt good. But later on, I kept reading. Got all there in Leviticus. But bring all this showbread and you do this. And if you don't do this, you have sinned against God. And that got very depressing. I said, why is it that you can read the Bible and it's depressing to you? Well, you were reading other people's mail. The directives for the church today is to focus on what? The essence of our gospel. And our gospel has a directive via the medium of salvation. That's where it begins, church. And if you get salvation right, you get your life right. If you're confused about salvation, you'll be confused about your life. In the essence of God, everything begins with salvation. What is salvation? Our eternal relationship with God. Are you saved today? If you're saved, let me guess what? We're safe. Somebody made me safe. I said, Visa called me, they told me, they called me, they can take my house, they can take my car, all this crazy stuff. You know, my darling, I got this bad report. What do you mean I'm safe? Yes, you're safe. Because your salvation is not tied into what you go through on a day-by-day basis. Because in time, you could be up today, down tomorrow. But in the essence of eternality, nothing changes. Because in the eternal realm, there is no time. There's time manifested here, but in eternality, there's no beginning and no end. Christ is all in all. And the problem with God's people, they're focusing in on the wrong thing. Wrong thinking, you're going to have wrong results. Wrong results, you're going to act wrong. But right thinking, from the eternal view, that's where you have your peace that passeth all understanding. So, in the essence, God gave this message to what? Paul. You got to understand. Let's go back in history. There were the kingdom apostles. You know, see, there was a transition period. Peter, James, and John were still living. And there was a problem that occurred because Peter, James, and John, and the others were instructed to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And Paul's instructions were to preach the gospel of the grace of God. And I've heard preachers tell me, wait a minute, it ain't but one gospel. And that's where the confusion, that's where the confusion begins. There are really seven gospels. We don't have time to get there today, we'll do it another time. There are really seven messages in God's word. But our message, the prioritized focus for the body of Christ today should be those 14 epistles. Now, looking at that, now we need to clarify something. Let's say clarify. Let's analyze. Let's look at what Peter, you know, it's interesting. Peter was the leader of the kingdom church. The apostle Paul was the leader of the what? Grace church. Let's look at something here. Because people say, well, what do you mean? No, Peter, Peter knew more than Paul. Or they say, they all had the same equivalency of knowledge. A lot of people think that they say, well, they were the apostles of God, so God gave all of them the same information. No, he didn't. God gives information to whom he what wills. Why is it that you have insight on the mystery and your neighbor that may have 3 or 4 PhD degrees, they look at you as if you what? You know what I'm talking about, right? Because God is a source of all knowledge. Let's go to 2 Peter. For those that say that God revealed as much to Peter and the others is to the Apostle Paul. Let's go to 2 Peter 3, 15 through 18. Now, we're going to still focus on salvation, because if you get salvation right, church, amen. See, some people, God's people, many of God's people are convinced that all the Bible has the same what? Value rating as far as knowledge is concerned. And it's not true. So I repeat, the whole Bible is true, but the whole Bible has different dimensions of knowledge. And if you focus on an area where you have limited knowledge, you'll be more confused coming out of that. If you read something, you'll be more confused when you started. So let's begin. Let's read this in the King James. Again, 2 Peter 3, 15 through 18. Deacon Gavin Gaines, our reader.
We're reading from the book of 2 Peter, the third chapter, beginning verse 15. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand.
Hard to understand. What did Peter say? There are some things in Paul's writings that's hard to understand. Well, let me ask you this. If Peter knew as much as Paul, why did Peter say in Paul's writings some things are hard to understand? That's like, myself being a teacher, and you know, you have a student that's, let's say, in the area of, let's say you have a math teacher, and this math teacher, this student tells this math teacher, that, Ms. Jones, the things that you taught me today is hard to understand. Well, you're not going to put that student on the same level of knowledge as that teacher. Because what? He or she is a student. So we're not limiting what? The fact that God gave Peter and James, John, Jesus gave them some wonderful what? Information about the kingdom. The kingdom that is to come. That hasn't come yet. Wonderful knowledge, wonderful information. But God just gave the Apostle Paul more, because what God gave to Paul focuses in on what? Eternality. The eternal view. Looking at things where? Down. Not where? Around. Now, let's read this in the Greek. Deacon Gavin, please.
Now, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning verse 15, interlineal Greek text. And the of the Lord of us, long suffering salvation deem, as indeed the beloved of us, brother Paul, according to the given to him wisdom, wrote to you, as also in all epistles speaking in them concerning these things, in which are hard to understand some things which the unlearned and unsteady twist, as also the remaining scriptures to their own of them destruction.
Now what Deacon just read, church, notice in verse 15, Peter writes that the long suffering of our Lord is what? Salvation. And to see, we need to keep the thoughts conveyed consistent. In verse 14, where he mentions verse 15, where he mentions salvation, this is consistent with verse 16 that's hard to understand. In other words, what Peter was saying, that it's hard to understand what Paul is writing about salvation. Now, what was so hard to understand from Peter's viewpoint? Well, Peter's viewpoint, let's look at the kingdom gospel. Peter, he said, the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. And verse 15 is hard to understand. Verse 16, what is hard to understand about Paul's writing as it relates to salvation? You need to understand the medium, the focus of the kingdom gospel as it relates to salvation. And then you understand why Paul is saying, this is hard to understand. Because if it was easy for him to understand, if they were preaching the same thing, they would never have had that meeting in Jerusalem if they were consistent, if they were all in one accord. Why would they call a meeting in Jerusalem? Listen, they're too much confused. We need to straighten this out. There are two messages out there. We're told that you must what? Repent and be baptized to be saved. And here, Paul is saying, you were already saved. We need to reconcile these messages. That was the purpose of that meeting, church. Now, notice, in the kingdom gospel, the focus is on salvation as it relates to time. You must be what? Baptized in time. You must believe in time. Go to the law. You must do certain things in time to be saved in time. Now, in Paul's message, the mystery, the focus is on salvation and what God has already done. So in essence, when Peter, again, the Lord instructed Peter, preach this gospel. Matthew 28:18, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized. He that believeth, notice, and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, if you take those kingdom instructions for your life today, you would think that if you're not baptized, you ain't saved. And we know men in church have their whole what? Their whole spiritual curriculum after this. Or you'd be thinking, if you don't have a tongue, you ain't saved. Men in church have their entire spiritual curriculum after this. Because they're going to some other parts of the Bible that's not a directive for you.
Right.
But somebody said, Jesus said it? Yes, he said it. Did Jesus mean everything he said? Yes. At that time, in the what? Kingdom messianic gospel, Jesus meant everything he said. Now somebody said, nah, I'm just gonna take what Jesus said. You know what? It amazes me about people. I talked to a brother a few years ago. I said, brother, you know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, everything he said is true. He said, oh yeah, yeah. So when I try to get him to see that, but it's not for you, what's for you is what? Our contract. What God has given what? To Paul and others for the church today. And he said, no, everything that Jesus said, no, everything that Jesus said, no, I want. Okay, so we start talking. I say, okay. I took him over there in Matthew 24. He said, what about tribulation? Oh, no, we're not going through the tribulation. Wait a minute. You said, you said that you want to, everything that Jesus says for you, well, in the tribulation period, that's the time of Jacob's trouble. That's the time that God is going to take Israel through the tribulation period. Now, do you want to go there? No. Well, wait a minute, you said it's for you. See, people want to grab and choose. And for years, Matthew 24 scared me. He says, what? Woe with those that are with child in those days. Antichrist come and raise his hand and say, you better flee to the mountains. I thought he said, the Bible says what? But Jesus said the elect. Yes, he said the elect. But the elect covers consistency in all dispensations. God always had his elect in all dispensations. God had his elect in the law, in promise, in all the dispensations. Thank God he just chose you and I to be the elect in the most glorious dispensation of all, the dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God. God just saved the best for less. Amen. So, in essence here, what we're saying is that the focus is what? In our gospel, it tells us that God has not what appointed us to wrath. You know, there are many of God's people can't get no sleep because they think they're going to go through the tribulation period. Thank God we're not. Because that time is chosen for what? Another God's people, another time frame, not for us, not for the body of Christ. Thank God. We're going to be out of here. The next great event that's going to happen is what? The catching away of the church. And as long as somebody says, what about the Antichrist? Wait a minute, what about the Antichrist? He will not be revealed until we are out of here. Amen. And during the time, there are Christians, officers, men have gotten rich writing books trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. I read them. One time, old Miguel Gorbachev was the Antichrist. One was Kissinger. One had Ronald Reagan, because I guess I had to read, but I believe in Ronald Reagan, you know, in each of his names, whatever his middle name is, it's what? Six letters. I believe. 666. You see what happens? When people have the wrong information, our focus should not be on the Antichrist. Our focus should be on what? The Christ. That is our focus. Amen. Now, for time's sake, let's move on. We're still talking about salvation. But see, we need to bring this point home, because as long as people and ministers right now, for many, there are some that may be hearing this from Pakistan, from Africa, from the Philippines. Many of you ministers, many, are leading God's flock. And one thing you need to understand, if you do not have a higher value rating, you need to focus on the fact that Paul's message is different. If you, in your mind, if you feel that it's about the same, no, his message is different. And I can't say enough times. Once you understand that these writers are different, then you can springboard these in some other areas, because you know, wow, Romans, Corinthians, Colossians, Ephesians, Titus, Timothy, Hebrews, these writers are different. But some, then somebody say, well, I don't know. I tell you what, thank God. Let's go to the Word. We can go to two scriptures. When you get to the first scripture, I want you to hold that, because I want you to hold your thing in this first scripture, and then flip over, and we're going to look at two scriptures right now. And then we're going to compare a couple words, because we have to understand that the writings are different, church, in these 14 epistles of Paul. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Now, once you get there, here's what I want you to do. Once you get to Philippians 1:10, Deacon Gavin's going to read that. But before Deacon Gavin begins reading, we want you to go to, and also go to Romans chapter 2, verse 18. I repeat, Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, and Romans chapter 2, verse 18. Now, I believe everyone has that. We want to make sure that we are following the scripture, not a person's opinion. You can read verse 10 in the King James and the Greek, please.
We're reading from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 10, first King James Version. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ.
Now, why don't you, I think some may have the Greek Bible. By the way, for those that hear this broadcast via other countries, at the Grace Gospel Church, we utilize the interlinear Greek text, because number one, many of you, I know probably speak this English language, but the Bible was originally written in Greek. And it's very simple. Thank God for the English language, but compared to many other languages, the English language is a fairly new language. So let's kind of transport our mind for a second. Let's go to 2,000 years ago. Now, we know Jesus knows all, not because he's God right in himself. But if you approached, let's say, Peter, James, and John, and some of the other disciples 2,000 years ago, and if you spoke the English language, they would look at you and say, what's that? What? Because during that time, there was no such thing as the English language. So, in essence, you would have to convey the God's word would have to be what? In the original language, it was what? Greek. So, why don't you read this? Are you ready, King James? Go to the Greek, if you don't mind. Philippians 1:10 in the Greek, please.
Now we're reading from Philippians 1st chapter, verse 10, from the interlineal Greek text. For thee to prove you the things differing.
The things different.
In order that ye may be sincere and unoffending in of Christ, in day of Christ.
Church, here's what we need to see. Notice. And I was looking at this week and I said, the King James, they just messed this word up. Because I think they were intimidated. Notice, you see that word, where you see the word excellent? We just read, just underline the word excellent. And we're going to look at the word excellent. Translated in the Greek, it translates different. That you may approve things that are what? Different. And who wrote this? Philippians. Paul. Paul says, the writings, the things that I have, the writings are what? Different. Now, the King James brethren really messed this up in Romans. Let's do this. Keep your hand there where it says in Philippians 1:10. Go to Romans 2:18. Go to Romans chapter 2. Why the clock beat me up? Got about 12 minutes here. Romans 2:18. They read King James and the interlinear Greek.
Now we're reading from Romans chapter 2, verse 18, King James Version. And knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law.
Now, for it says this, read this also in the Greek.
Now, Romans chapter 2, verse 18, interlineal Greek text. And knowest the will and approvest the things excelling.
Excelling.
Being instructed out of the law.
Now, you notice, deep, in verse 18, where you see excelling, deep, do you see the word different anywhere in verse 18? Probably not. In your...
No,
church, repeat now. I'm going to say this very slow. In Philippians verse 1 and 10, they translated, were honest enough, they used the word what? Different. But in Romans what? 2:18, where you see excellent, they use the word what? More excellent. Right? Church, if you have your Greek interlinear, if you transpose, underline the word excellent, the word excellent in both Philippians and Romans is the same Greek word translated different. Mm-hmm. Same Greek word.
Sure
is that right, D? It's the same Greek word translated different. Now, one person, in Philippians, they did use different, but in Romans, he didn't deal with it. He just used more excellent rather than what? Different. You know why? Because to go up there, understand now, this is King James. To go before the king, you know what I'm saying? Depending upon how the king felt,
right.
you're gonna what? Translate this? Wait a minute, this is what different from what other parts of the Bible. You know, you're supposed to have your head what, right? So what we're saying is the same Greek word, and if you study this word deeper, you know what it also translates, meaning a higher value rating. Different by way of a higher value rating. Paul's writings, I'm going to say it again, are different via the medium of a higher value rating. And they didn't deal with it. They use the word more excellent. They just use a general what? A general more excellent. And you see why I'd be talking about Greek exegesis? If you dig deeper in this word, it really means what? Different. Now notice what Paul says in Romans 2:18. Dee just read it. Dee, do you read Romans in the Greek?
Yes.
Okay. Notice that Paul said being instructed out of the law. Notice. Time frame. Paul was saying, you know, we taught for a year, almost 15 months on in the Sunday school on what? Having a drawing a line of demarcation between the body of Christ and the Commonwealth of Israel. Here, Paul is what? Referencing what? the Commonwealth of Israel because the Gentiles had no law. What Paul was saying here was that what? The law, the message that God gave to what? Me, the Apostle Paul, is different than the instructions under the law. He just said here being instructed out of the law. The message of the gospel of the kingdom, of the grace of God, is different. It's different, and the differential element of our gospel begins with salvation. And if you understand, if you get salvation right, church, it clarifies everything else in your life. If you understand. But you know the problem? Many of God's people does not understand what? Salvation. My wife and I talking this morning. I said, you think that most God's people understand salvation? What? Most of them don't. You talk to him. Oh, yeah. You ask them, when do you get saved? Oh, I got saved. You know the I've been there. When I got saved? Oh, I got saved at Morning Star, Galilee Baptist Church, Rosemary. You know, that Galilee Baptist Church when I shook the preacher's hand. When I did something. When you did something. I spoke in tongues. I contributed. In other words, I contributed to this thing. And I don't even call it salvation. Thing. You know the mindset. The arrogancy. Something you did. Something you brought to the table. Anything you bring to the table, you just destroy grace. Yes, because we need to, we can close out. We still have 10 minutes. Bear with me. It begins with salvation. Now, the problem that many people have as it relates to salvation, because this is on the same framework. Many of God's people do not understand the new man as it relates to salvation. The fact that there's an old man and a new man. You are old, you're new. You were new before you became old. Because you have always been new. Well, somebody said, preacher, you were lost. What do you mean? You know, I was old. I came here, what, 25 years ago. Some say 30, some say 40, some say 50, some say, okay, I stopped there. Amen. No! You have always been with Christ. Here, let's do this. Let's let the word speak. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Okay, Ephesians 4, 22. Always have been. You have always been with Christ. Ephesians 4, 22. We have time. Okay, we have time. We'll read both of these. Both verses in the King, since it's only one verse, King James and Greek. Okay, we can begin here, okay?
We're reading now from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 22, King James Version first. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man.
The old man. We're still talking about salvation, church. Okay.
Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts.
What? The old man. What about verse 24?
23. And
yes.
Be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Uh-huh.
And verse 24.
Verse 24.
And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Notice, as it relates to salvation, church, old man, new man. We're not going to leave the ladies. Old woman, new woman. Y'all get the point, right? Old and new. New and old. Now, let's look at this here. Let's. You read King James, interlinear?
That was the King James.
Interlinear, real quick. Interlinear.
All right. Ephesians 4, beginning the 22nd verse, King James, interlinear Greek text. Verse 22, to put off you as regards the former conduct, the old man, being corrupted according to the lusts of deceit.
Mm-hmm.
23, and to be renewed in the spirit of the mind of you, and to put on the new man according to God, created in righteousness and holiness of truth.
Notice, church, it says what? Old man, new man. Notice, verse 22, that word old man is aorist infinity. Past completed what? Action. Both in verse 24, what? Aorist infinity. Old man, new man. In other words, the new person has always been with Christ. You were chosen in eternity. Always new, cannot sin. The new man, you better, what? This ain't nothing good but this bad boy here. So people get confused, and here's the confusion. Here's the ultimate confusion. They go over there in 1 John, I believe in 1 John, you don't have to turn there, but just for your information, because of time's sake, I believe 1 John, three, nine. I tell you, I'm sorry, we got to go there. Let's go to 1 John 3, 9. Because we want the word to speak, amen? Here's the confusion. 1 John 3, 9. We're still talking about salvation, right? Let's just read this, since most of you have the King James. We go there, okay? I explain the interlinear. Okay, whosoever is born, okay?
Now we're reading from 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, King James Version. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God.
He cannot sin. It tells you right there what? The new man cannot sin. Now here's the confusion. Read verse 1 John 1, 8. 1 John 1, 8, 8.
1 John
1, 8, yes. 1 John, this, yeah, we'll read 1, 8.
1 John chapter 1, verse 8, King James Version. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Okay, here's the confusion. How many of you have heard people say the Bible contradicts itself? They just read on one account, it says what? If you're born of God, you cannot sin. And then the same context says what? If you say you have not sinned, you what? You in fact, one case says you call God a liar. Somebody said, what? So the Bible contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. You have to separate the new man. The man that's recreated in Christ Jesus, what? Has always been with Christ. When God recreated you, in the image of God, recreated you, you were what? In salvation, God, you have always been with Christ. All these crazy things happen down here in time has nothing to do with your eternal abode in Christ. You have always been in Christ. And what happens is this. If you don't understand this, a big time preacher about 5 years ago, someone read this scripture, and they called it the telephone. They say, Mr. Preacher, I'm not calling names there, but I don't know if I mention his name. He says, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that what? That if anybody's born of God, you cannot sin. So, you know, he was, right? So he just thought, see, you don't think, you look at this, go to the Word. I knew some crazy stuff was going to come out of his mouth. He said, well, let me say, sister, you know what? If you can really get this what? Holy Ghost. If you can really get to a certain level, you'll get to the point where you won't sin. Now, you know what? That's what happens. People listen to that. They're going to try it. They're going to pray. They'll fast and they'll do this. And by the way, we're not minimizing what? Conduct in terms of this. If God what? Show you right, stand right. But when you miss the mark, that's not the new man that missed the mark. That's what? This old flesh. And everybody in here missed the mark this week. I'm not a mind reader, but I know you missed the mark. But somebody said, how do you know? Are you breathing? Mm-hmm. You breathe. You missed the mark. Somebody said, well, I did. Okay, well, you had a bad thought. You missed the mark. Mm-hmm. You missed the mark. Everybody missed the mark. But that's the old man. The new man has always been with Christ, has never left Christ.
Right.
And one thing we need to understand is that in the essence of God's eternal workings, as we go through time, we have never left home. We have always been what? In Christ. Always. Now, I'm going to close on a little story here because sometimes I'm going to close and be, I'm gonna, they'll be, let's sit down. But I'm thinking of this little story here. This story, I do have 3 minutes, which is one of the famous films of all time. And we have all, some of you see every year, The Wizard of Oz. And I was thinking about this story. We all know the story where little Dorothy, and she was out there in Kansas. And for those of you that's in other countries, this is a story, it's a fantasy, American fantasy, about a girl who ran away from home with her little dog, Toto. And what happened? We know the story. There was a hurricane, tornado coming, and this fortune teller tells her that her aunt is ill. She goes back home, and she was trying to get into the cellar. What happened? A window pane hit her in the face, and she what? All of a sudden, her conscience is transported to another, it's like another planet. And she wakes up, and she sees these mushrooms, this beautiful place. And she's thinking, oh, I never want to go back home. This is what? This is wonderful. And then she runs to these little mushkins and and all of a sudden she runs into, the Tin Man and the Lion and the Scarecrow, and they all collaborate with Dorothy. Dorothy, we're going to help you get back home. But during the time everything was good, she said, oh, this is us. This is heaven on earth. But all of a sudden things got bad. The wicked witch from the east. She had these ruby clip, these sneakers, not sneakers, but shoes. She said, the only way she could get those shoes, she had to die. So all of a sudden, Dorothy is frightful, and everything is so bad. She said, I've got to get back home. And then, in the essence of this story, when it got so bad, Dorothy, the witch had, she was out together, and she was. Locks her in the room and flips his hourglass, and when the hourglass is there, you're dead, Dorothy. And all she's thinking about is, I'm dead. But she never left home. And what happened? In the final analysis, you know the story, when she tapped her shoes 3 times, all of a sudden, she wakes up. And she was in Kansas where she was the whole time. And she was out there, all this crazy stuff. The wizard doing all this flashing. Dorothy, we're going to kill you. All this crazy stuff. Yes. Yes. And it was only a figment of her imagination. And then when she woke up, during the time, I'm sure, the time that the witch was going to get her, the same time that Aunt Em was wiping her what? Face. In the bed in Kansas. She never left. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you would think that, you would think her whole life was consumed with what's happening out there in what? In fantasy land. And many of God's people, they go through the time capsule being in fantasy land. Turmoil, trouble, trial, and you feel that this is it. No, this is only a figment of your imagination. It's not your home. Somebody said, no, you preach, you lost your mind. My home is 1445 Kentucky, or my home is so-and-so Woodward Avenue. No, that is your temporary abode while you're residing in the time capsule. Your eternal abode. We close with this. Where's your eternal address? Your eternal address. What's your eternal abode? Your eternal abode is where the Bible tells us that God, when He recreated you, we are sitting together in the heavenlies in Christ. That is our eternal abode, and we have never left there. We have always been there. So, in the essence, and what happened? And Dorothy was going through all those crazy experiences. When the flying monkeys zoom her up, I'm sure she was thinking, when they zoomed Dorothy and Toto and the Aaron, the Scarecrow, when they zoomed them up, I'm sure they thought, we have you now. And how many of you have been there? The devil thought, oh, I got you now. You're not going to breathe another, you're not going to make another day. Why? We're only in fantasy land. Somebody said, what do you mean? Only, somebody said, wait a minute, this is real. Oh, wait a minute. This is only real as it relates to time capsule. But when God gets rid of time, everything associated with time is going to disappear. Which means that what this is not really real. In the essence of eternality, it's not real.
Glory.
It's only here while we're occupying the time capsule.
That's right.
So God, just like God, and I don't know, I don't know her spiritual insight, but it's interesting that she here. She was unconscious in another fantasy land, but it wasn't real. Her real abode was in Kansas. Unconscious, we are abiding in the time capsule. But our real abode is where? In the heavenlies in Christ. So let's focus on who we are in Christ, what he's done for us in eternity. And if we have the right focus, we have the right understanding and the right thought conveyance to know that the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.
Give God praise. Give God praise. Hallelujah.